Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Tonight I feel so far away, so far away from you. What did you do tonight? I'm driving my truck up and down the coast from north of Seattle to the Mexico line. Right now I'm in San Bernardino. All day long it was 95 degrees, but at least tonight I get to hear the golden voice of Vin Scully.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Scully.
Yes.
Hi there. My name is Josh Earnest. I'm the White House press secretary.
Oh, my gosh. I certainly know the name. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, we're fine.
Well, Mr. Scully, I know that you're really busy. I wanted to call and talk to you about something. The every year, the president gives out something called the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It's the highest civilian honor that any president can give. And President Obama has given it out every year that he's been in office. And he gives it just a handful of people. And this year, he's going to give it to you.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Yes. So you've had...
Are you sure? I'm just an old baseball announcer.
Well, listen, you've had a remarkable impact on the lives of generations of sports fans in this country. And you have brought a decency and a professionalism to this job that hasn't just captured the attention of generations of Americans. It's captured the attention of the President of the United States. And you've got quite a legacy.
I'm rather overwhelmed and humbled.
And congratulations,
thank you so
sir.
Much, Josh.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Take care. Bye.
Bye for now.
How cool is that? Oh, my goodness.
How about that? Huh? There is something to be said in 2016, bordering on 2017, for decency and professionalism. Not only Vin Scully, as we told you yesterday, Michael Jordan, about 30 people, including this guy. Robert Redford, Diana Ross, De Niro, Lorne Michaels, and The Boss.
Oh, maybe this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. We gotta get out while we're young. Cause tramps like us, baby, we were born to run.
I know a lot of big Springsteen fans. I'm a big Springsteen fan. But I know a lot of people who are bigger Springsteen fans. The biggest Springsteen fan I know is Agent Provocateur Alan Walsh from Octagon Hockey in Los Angeles, with us every Thursday around this time. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. Well, what's left for Bruce Springsteen? He just wrote a book, right? He's got the Presidential Medal. There's the highest honor you can have a civilian in America could have. So what now what?
He's heading to Australia and New Zealand to continue the river tour, and there's been some rumors about a potential Broadway play based on his autobiography.
Uh-huh.
There's been some talk about a movie based on his autobiography. So I don't know what comes next other than Australia and New Zealand, but I'm sure something's coming next. And we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, so he may just be getting starting in the third act of The Boss on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Before we get to some Player Association NHL-related issues that are front and center this week, Pierre McGuire was with us. You know he's on with us every day after 5 o'clock, talking about one of your clients.
Richard's got one goal. He's He's got one goal. He's got to be better than that. Derek Brassard, to me, was so good last year, career year last year, by the way, with the Rangers. The one thing I would say is with Derek, it's almost like he doesn't want the puck anymore. He's not in New York. He wanted the puck. He was a dominant player. I'm not seeing that from him right now, and I'm a huge fan. And not only do I like the kid as a kid, like the kid a ton as a player.
So, of course, we got to ask you about this. Is this just a case of taking longer than anticipated in new surroundings or what?
I think that any time a player is traded and he's playing for a new team, there's challenges in getting acclimated to playing, particularly with new line mates. And new system, and it sounds cliched, but you know, in watching Derek play the game, it's not necessarily reflected in the scoring summary, but he's been playing well. And he's been getting chances. He's been creating chances. And with all due respect to my good friend Pierre, the team has also been winning. And he's getting 19 or 20 minutes a game ice time every night. So, yes, you look at that one goal that he scored this year, and you think, something's up. But in reality, he's been playing much better than his statistics would indicate.
Be shocked at the end of the year if Derek Brassard's numbers aren't at least a little closer to what we saw last year. So let me get on to the – I think this is a story percolating around the NHL this year, owners, players, media, some fans.
The biggest issue from the NHL's perspective that they won't talk about is if the World Cup of Hockey is going to grow and stand alone as the best, as the only best-on-best tournament out there, they can't go to the Olympics. As long as the Olympics are out there, NHL participation in the Olympics is out there, the World Cup will always stand in its shadow.
Gord Miller, who is a member of the International Ice Hockey Federation Hall of Fame, as you know, is with us every Wednesday at 6:05. Is the NHL attempting to bribe the NHL Players Association here? What's going on, Alan?
You know, I can only give you an idea from my own perspective of what's happening. Does the NHL necessarily want to go to the Olympics in 2018 in South Korea and shut down for 2 weeks? The vibe that I'm hearing myself from people connected inside the NHL is no. Clearly the NHL is not going to pay for the privilege of shutting down for 2 weeks and sending their players over to South Korea. And it's about $10 million in transportation costs, insuring every player's NHL contract for the life of the deal. And some of those contracts of players coming over, going over would be, fairly significant. And hospitality, NHL and NHLPA hospitality rooms, that could run, you know, up to $1 million per tournament for each one. So you got $10 million here in costs that have been covered in all the prior Olympics by the IOC, and the IOC is refusing to cover them now. And a lot of the negotiations up to this point, from what I'm told, has been based on finding the $10 million from other sources. And you really only have two, the IOC and the IIHF, to cover this. Apparently, the IIHF has found the $10 million through contributions from different national federations and their own resources to come up with the $10 million. And now that the money's there, lo and behold, we have a sort of a new idea being floated out there that there's some connection between the NHL approving the players go over in 2018 and play in the Olympics and a three-year extension to the current CBA. You could say that this came out of nowhere, and it did, and you could also say that perhaps the NHL, Gary Bettman, who knows the players almost unanimously support going over to the Olympics, and the players want to play, they want to represent their countries, is holding that desire hostage, that player's desire hostage, in connecting it in some manner to a CBA extension.
And it was just this week when Gary Bettman was asked, I don't know, I guess it was during the GM meetings or Hall of Fame or the same time, basically, about a possible work stoppage lockout in 2020. And he said, why is anybody thinking about this? We're not talking about this. And then here comes this report about extending the CBA. If in fact, the players won't sign off on that, would they?
I have no idea what, I haven't talked to anybody with the NHLPA. When I state opinions out there publicly, like with you on the show, it's my own personal opinion. I'm not speaking on behalf of all of my players. But here's what's going on, in my opinion, and it's fairly self-evident. The NHL has an amazing CBA right now. And the league and the owners are very happy with it. And the players last year paid a blended escrow of 17% of the face value of their contracts into escrow. They're paying 15% right now. And we don't know the impact that Las Vegas is going to have on escrow going forward. But there's many models that I've seen that say escrow is, in fact, going to rise based on Vegas coming into the league by an additional couple of points. So from the league's perspective, they probably don't think they can get a better deal than what they have in the current CBA. So why not lock the players in as long as possible? I think Gary Bettman would love to extend this current CBA by 20 years if he could. That's not necessarily in the players' best interest.
Agent provocateur Alan Walsh with us on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Pierre LeBrun will join us after 6 o'clock. What about what Gord Miller told us yesterday about that? That the league wants, obviously, they made money and so did the players, the World Cup. That's their baby, and there's no point in going forward with both. If you gave the players the option, what do you think would happen here? You can't go forward with both, or can you?
Well, I think the plan all along has been to go forward with both. I think there's a extensive international strategy that is out there that includes ideas or concepts like returning the premier games to Europe, having four teams start the NHL season in Europe and play a number of games. A World Cup of Hockey in 2020, going back a bit, the World Cup in 2018, maybe doing an All-Star game in London or Berlin or some other European city. I've seen plans for two Ryder Cups, North America versus the world, one that could be played in Europe and one that could be played in North America. So you've got an extensive international strategy going on where the attempt is to grow revenues and interest in the NHL in both Europe and Asia, which are largely untapped markets for the NHL right now. And really, when you're at projected $4.5 billion of revenue this season, ticket prices can only go up so high. Your broadcast deals are pretty much set in stone for many years going forward. How, if you're the NHL looking to increase revenues, how do you do that? And keep in mind that in the singular area of raising revenues, the players and the league are in the same boat. Everybody wants to increase revenues. And really the only area that you can exploit and move into and start to create fan interest and licensing and merchandising and broadcasting is to play games over there. So I think there's a concerted plan now over the next 10 years to do many events focusing on Asia and Europe, And with the Olympics in 2018 in South Korea and 2022 in China, here we go. So I think that you can do it all, and the more events, the better, keeping in mind that the rash of injuries we're seeing right now in the NHL, somewhat unprecedented over the last couple of weeks, could be caused, or there could be a connection between these injuries and the compressed schedule, along with players also, some of them playing in the World Cup of Hockey. So we also have to be mindful of the impact that the condensed schedule, and there's so many back-to-backs going on right now and tough travel going on, that it's making it difficult to the point where people are talking about that as well.
That is an interesting case study right there. We're out of time. Thanks as always, Alan. Always fascinating every Thursday after 5:40, and congrats to the boss. I feel like I know him through you.
Thanks a lot, man. Have a great one. Yep.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.